St. Paul and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening to
This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of radio theater, comedy, and the audio arts, with your host, Jerry Stearns. A fine autumn good evening to you. I'm Jerry Stearns, your host for Sound Effects, a radio playground. And our modern audio theater tale tonight is a continuation of the story we just barely began last week. It's called The Sting of the Dark Tower. The original story was written by C.S. Lewis, although it wasn't published until after his death. A gentleman named Peter Gruenbaum did the adaptation for audio and made some changes to the story structure mostly in order to make it much better audio. The group he published it with is called Coiled Stories, so you can find more about it at coiledstories.com. Now in the tale so far, C.S. Lewis has been invited by colleagues to a laboratory at Cambridge University, and there he is introduced to a device called a chronoscope. Now, they say the chronoscope does to time what a telescope does to distance. So they use this device, and they're looking off in some direction through a window of the university, and they can see what turns out to be a tower, a tall tower. And so they focus in on that and actually can get inside it, where they see humanoid creatures, one of whom has a stinger on the front of his head. And strange things happen there. Well, it's going to get even stranger as we continue on with the story after some repairs have been done to the chronoscope. This is the C.S. Lewis story, The Sting of the Dark Tower. And it's all here on Sound Effects, a radio playground.
Orpheu, are you there?
Come in, Lewis.
Has Scudamore obtained the new lens yet?
Right down to business, eh, Lewis? He's off at the astronomy department right now. Should be back soon.
Ah, good. By the way, Orpheu, what do you know about his fiancée?
She visited last fall. Dreadful woman.
How so?
One of those modern women.
I feared as much.
They say that modern women want to be free to discuss all the things that their grandmothers would never say. Miss Bembridge apparently believes that that's all she should talk about.
Oh, dear.
I've tried to talk sense into him, but you know how young men are. Oh, back already, Scudamore?
Good morning, Professor Lewis. Yes, they had it all wrapped up for me like a Christmas present. Take a look. Beautiful, isn't she?
Can you try it out?
Should be a simple swap. Out with the old and in with the new. Just reconnect the electrodes, turn it on. And,
I don't see anything.
Neither do we, sir.
Let me draw the curtains.
I still don't see anything.
Look there, it's faint. But it's some sort of dark stripe.
Yes.
It's what?
Just a vertical dark gray stripe. Very faint against the light gray background.
Let me play with the electrical current through the lens.
Do that some more. The stripe got bigger.
Like this?
Yes. Look, it's as if we're moving closer to the stripe.
I'll keep increasing the frequency.
It's not a stripe. It's a tower.
A tower surrounded by a village?
Closer. Closer.
Soon we'll hit the wall.
Keep going.
We're inside.
I can't quite make it out.
Professor Lewis, we should describe aloud what we see. In the name of scientific observation.
Yes, yes. I see what you mean. Agreed.
So, it appears to be the same room we've been watching.
Yes, but it's much clearer. The walls are made of stone, and each stone is intricately carved.
Floral patterns, battle scenes, insects.
So much ornament makes the whole thing rather distasteful.
And there, where the people would kneel down, there's a squat pillar with a statue on top.
What kind of statue?
Very odd. A number of smaller human bodies culminate in one giant head. It's quite grotesque.
And there is that another statue?
There? No, that's the man in the shadows.
He's very still. He's seated in a chair, dressed in an ancient style of clothes, perhaps Egyptian.
Assyrian, I'd say.
Yes, Assyrian. Hold on. Let me bring us closer.
What's that on his forehead?
Oh, my.
What?
He has some kind of protuberance on his forehead. It appears to be lubricated with a viscous liquid.
You needn't mince words, Scudamore. He has a stinger on his head, and it's dripping with poison.
A stinger?
I don't see what else it could be.
Me either. Look, the door's opening.
Is somebody coming in?
Let me back us up so we can see the whole room.
It's an older man, also wearing Assyrian-style clothing. He's kneeling before the statue. His lips are moving, saying a prayer, I suspect.
Oh, look, now the man with the stinger is getting up and coming towards him.
The praying man doesn't notice. He stands.
The other man grabs him from behind and, oh.
The dirty beast.
What?
He stung him. Stung him in the back of the neck.
The older man's fainted. Wait, wait, he's getting up.
Looks like he's leaving the room.
You know, he looked nervous, but normal when he came in. Now he's moving like a man who's walking in his sleep.
And the stinging man has gone back to his chair.
How old is this stinging man?
Let's take a closer look at him.
I'd say mid to late 20s, about Scudamore's age. How old are you, Scudamore?
28, sir.
He's also about the same height and build as Scudamore. In fact, take away the beard and he looks just like him.
Oh, I don't think so, sir.
It's quite remarkable. The eyes, the nose.
Look, the door's opening. Someone's coming in.
Describe him to me.
It's a woman this time. Again, wearing Assyrian-style clothes. Rather pretty, wouldn't you say, Scudamore? Scudamore, what's wrong? You've gone completely pale.
That's Camilla.
Camilla? You mean your fiancé?
Oh, that's quite impossible, Scudamore.
I'd know her anywhere. It's... Damn, she's off the edge of the screen. I'll pull us back. Hold on.
Now you've pulled us outside the tower.
I'll get us back in. One moment. Damn it, the electrode fell off the lens. Here, I'll reattach it.
Power the machine down first.
No, time for that. This'll just take a second.
Power it down.
It's fine. I just... Ah!
Scudamore, are you all right?
The electrical system is completely burned out. He must have had a current running from the lens through his body.
Scudamore, come on, man.
Is he dead?
No. No, I can see him breathing.
Oh, thank heaven. Scudamore, can you hear me?
Where am I?
You'll be fine. You're in Orpheus' lab.
Where am I?
Calm down, Scudamore. You've had an accident.
Leave me alone!
Oh!
Scudamore!
Did you see that? Did you see that, Orpheus?
What are you talking about?
He butted me in the stomach with his head. It was like an instinct for him, as if striking a man with his forehead would incapacitate him.
You're letting your imagination run wild, Clive. Come on, we must find them as soon as we can.
Yes. Yes, we must.
O greater society, I offer myself to you. Let me be worthy to serve you. Let me be... No, wait, that's not it. Let me play my small part.
Camilla?
Michael! Is it really you?
Wait. Stay back. The closer you get, the more I want to sting you.
Oh, Michael. What have they done to you?
Is there a cushion in this room?
There's a pillow behind you.
Maybe if I stung it instead. One more time. There. I feel like an idiot. But it seems to have worked. Come here. Let me hold you.
Oh, Michael. I didn't think I'd ever see you again.
Camilla, you're not from here, are you?
Of course not. I'm from New York, like you.
I don't know whether to be overjoyed at seeing you or worried sick that you're here and not home safe. How did you get here?
Same as you. One of the Overlord's raiding armies captured me and brought me to England.
What?
It happened about 6 months after they captured you.
Well, now I'm confused. Who is it?
Your humble servant.
I should go.
No, stay. I need you. come in. Orphew.
Yes, my lord.
Never mind. What are you here for?
I have news, but for your ears only.
She can stay.
My lord, you know what happened to the last lord who was caught with a woman in this room.
I'll take that chance.
Very well. A small group of savages mounted another attack. We beat them back, but they almost made it to the tower.
Where are they now?
They melted back into the city like they always do.
I see. Anything else I should know?
No, my lord.
Tell me, Orphew, is there a device here that can do to time what a telescope does to space?
You mean a chronoscope, my lord?
A chronoscope, exactly.
There is the Overlord's chronoscope, of course. And then there is the old, broken one in this room. Is there another one you know of?
No. Never mind, Orphew, you may go.
Yes, my lord.
That's Orphew, but not Orphew. Which means you're Camilla, but not Camilla.
What do you mean?
Listen, Camilla, I'm not the man you once knew. There are things I should know, but I don't.
I understand. They've done things to you.
Well, yes and no. I need to go out and try to learn what I can. You should be safest here, I think.
Don't be away long.
I won't. Camilla, do you know who these savages are that Orphew was talking about?
He must mean the people who fight against the authority of the tower. I've heard there are groups of them who live in the city.
Interesting. I guess that makes me a savage, too.
Scudamore! Show yourself, Scudamore! Damn it. Orphew's gone home. And I shall, too, pretty soon.
Up here.
Good lord! What are you doing up there? Don't you know these Cambridge rooftops are hundreds of years old?
Feel at home in high places.
Get down this instant. You'll kill yourself. We just want to talk to you.
I'm sure you do.
We can help you. You know nothing about this place. Where will you sleep? What will you eat? I have food right here. If you come down and we go to Orphew's flat, we can eat it while it's still hot.
What shall I call you?
Your counterpart called me Professor Lewis.
Professor Lewis, you're very persuasive. I'm on my way down.
Oh, Michael, where have you been? I've been so frightened.
Sorry, Camilla. I found an enormous library. It took quite a while to track down what I was looking for. But listen, I have some answers.
About what?
About where I'm from. I always thought there were just four dimensions, three in space, one in time. But it turns out there is a fifth. It's more like time than space, so they call it other time.
I'm not following you.
This world and my world are separated by a very small distance in other time. And yet we can't see or hear or touch each other. We can't tell the other exists.
Your world?
Still, the two worlds must influence each other. They have the same language, the same people, the same landscape, sometimes even the same buildings.
You're not making sense, Michael.
Camilla, I know this is very hard to believe, but my mind is from another time, very different from this one. We need a plan to get you free of this tower and to get me home. Tonight, let's...
Why'd you stop? Keep reading.
That's all there is.
What?
C.S. Lewis abandoned the novel at this point and never came back to it. This was published after his death.
Why didn't you tell me?
I tried, but you didn't want to hear it.
It's about 5. You should go.
But we haven't talked about...
What?
Tomorrow. When we're supposed to start.
There's nothing to talk about.
I need to be sure that this is what you want to do and not something your parents want you to do.
It's something that I want to do.
And I want to know why.
That's not your job. Your job is to give the injections and monitor me to make sure I have no bad reactions.
I can do my job better if I have some sense of who you are.
And do I get to know who you are? Do I get to find out why you left a residency program and now you're a nanny? It's a big fall from doctor to nanny.
How did you know about that?
It's all in public records if you look hard enough.
Well, that's none of your business.
My point exactly. Goodbye, Eleanor.
I see. I'll just let myself out.
You're 5 minutes late, Eleanor.
Good afternoon, Juniper. Traffic was bad.
Whatever. Come in. Listen, I did some reading on the internet about the Dark Tower last night. And it turns out that after his death, C.S. Lewis's family created a bonfire and started burning all the writing he left behind.
May I sit down?
Yeah, sit down. Anyway, this guy who used to be his secretary managed to save the last set of boxes. And in there, he found the Dark Tower story, handwritten on lined paper, ending in mid-sentence.
I know. It's in the book's introduction.
Well, I'll bet you didn't know this. There's a famous C.S. Lewis scholar who thinks it's a forgery. And some people did a computational analysis of the words in the story and compared them to the Space Trilogy, and they didn't match.
Really? I did not know that. But if C.S. Lewis didn't write it, then who did? Was it fan fiction?
Well, I think the scholar was wrong. I think he wrote it. It's both creepy and judgmental.
You know what else it says in the book's introduction? The publisher speculates that Camilla, you know, the awful modern fiancée, had her mind switched with her other time version when she was a girl.
Wait, he thinks the modern fiancée is from other time?
Exactly. Which means the version of Camilla that Scudamore meets in other time is actually the real one. And Scudamore would get to marry her in the end. Did you notice how nice she was?
Ugh, the other time Camilla is a total helpless wimp. Give C.S. Lewis more credit than that.
No, not many people would consider C.S. Lewis a feminist.
But this novel could have changed him. Writing this could have made him realize that sometimes what you need more than anything is a modern woman.
Ah, to be 15 and idealistic again. And what exactly would this modern Camilla do?
I don't know, but I do know this. They would have forgotten to pick her up at the train station that night, and she would have been pissed.
So she, what? Gets a taxi and finds them?
Yeah, at Orpheus Place.
What kind of food do you think C.S. Lewis would have picked up? Let's see. It would be 1940s England. Lewis is a bachelor.
Fish and chips.
Of course.
Oh, wait. I'll tell you what happens next. It's so tasty, it blows away the mind of the other time Scudamore. But C.S. Lewis...
Extraordinary. In this time, you wrap your food up in pages from an enormous book.
It's called newspaper.
Careful, it's very hot.
This is delicious. Never had such fine fish in all my life.
Let me ask you something, Scudamore. Are you the person who we saw in the chronoscope, full beard and stinger on your forehead?
Correct. I must have switched minds with your version of me.
Lewis, don't confuse him. He's had a nasty shock. He's disoriented.
That is also correct, Orfeu. I am disoriented. But you can hardly blame me. You live in an amazing time, and it'll take a while to get used to all of your wonders.
Are we your past or your future?
Neither. We call it other time.
Lewis, we need to get this man to a doctor. Playing along with his delusions is not helping him.
I've never felt better in all my life.
Scudamore, can you prove you're from, what did you call it, other time?
Fix your chronoscope, and you can see your own Scudamore. He'll be quite recognizable by the way he acts.
But if you're from this other time, how would you know about our chronoscope and that it was broken?
Because I caught a glimpse of it before I left your laboratory. It looks just like one of ours, except for the electrical parts on yours were smoking.
I can see that proof is going to be tricky. Why don't you tell us more about where you come from? Why do you sting people?
It makes them happy.
Really? Because what I noticed is that you sneak up on your victims from behind.
I didn't say they wanted to be stung. Look, when we capture savages and bring them to the tower, they have no desire to be part of the greater society. If we compel them to play their part, they become unhappy and they try to hurt themselves and others. But some of us become lords and are blessed with growing a stinger. And that stinger brings happiness. Once they're happy, they don't mind being part of the greater society.
And just what is this greater society?
You don't know. Ah, that explains...
Orfeu! Are you in there?
Oh, no, it's Camilla. We completely forgot that she was arriving tonight.
Orfeu!
One moment! Camilla, so good to see you again.
Have you seen Michael?
Perhaps we can discuss this out in the hallway.
He's here, isn't he? Ah, there he is. Michael, what the hell?
Language, miss.
Did you just forget about me? I waited an hour at the train station, then I took a cab to your place and then here, and I find you eating fish and chips and licking your fingers.
Excuse me, do I know you?
What?
Oh, wait, you're that girl. The one right before...
Orfeu, perhaps you could take Camilla out to someplace nice, get her something to eat, and explain what's happening.
I think you would be better suited to the task, Lewis.
I haven't even met the girl.
Camilla Benbridge, this is Clive Staples Lewis. He's a well-known writer.
I know who C.S. Lewis is. Now, can I speak to my fiancé, please?
You mean I'm engaged to this person?
Okay. What's wrong here?
Orfeu will explain. Go with him.
I can take you to the faculty club. They have excellent food there. You'll probably enjoy the prison.
That was delicious. Good thing there's more.
But that's Orfeu's.
You heard him. He's taking the girl for dinner. He's not eating it.
Very well. Take it.
Don't mind if I do. This is going to be harder than I thought.
I don't see how we can do it.
Don't give up. I'll get you out of here somehow.
You saw them. Even in the middle of the night, there were 30 guards to stop anyone from leaving.
Yes, I know. There's got to be a way. I think the key is the chronoscope.
The what?
The device that lets you see into other time. Orfeu said there was a broken one in here. We just have to find it.
Could it be under that sheet in the corner?
Let's take a look. Yes! It's very similar to ours, but the transformer's a mess.
Can you fix it?
I'll see what I can do.
We're back!
All right, Michael. Let's have a look at you.
Feast your eyes.
You know, The obvious explanation is that you struck your head, and now your mind is out of whack. In fact, I can see a bright red bump on your forehead. Oh, it's going to become a hell of a bruise. But I can just tell. I don't know how, but I can just tell. It's not you.
Well, Lewis, you now have an ally in your insanity. I hope you're... Lewis, what's wrong? You're as white as a sheet.
The electric shock knocked Scudamore backwards. He fell and hit the back of his head.
You're quite right, Professor Lewis. I only hit the back of my head. And now I've got a red bump growing on my forehead. What could it possibly be?
We need to switch them back as soon as possible before this one grows a stinger. The first step is to rebuild the chronoscope. Can you do that, Dr. Orphew?
My eyesight is not good enough. I need Scudamore to do the work.
Well, don't look at me. Your Scudamore was an engineer. I'm a lord. I know nothing about how to fix that machine.
That leaves you, Lewis.
Me? I'm an academic. I've never been any good with my hands.
That explains why you're still a bachelor. Very well, hon.
Wait, Juniper. There's no way C.S. Lewis would have written that.
Eleanor, I'm telling you, writing this book opened up his mind.
To innuendo?
Will you be quiet so I can go on?
Okay, go on.
Very well. I'll be your eyes and hands, Dr. Orphew.
What, you, Camilla?
I've taken apart auto engines and put them back together. It can't be that much harder. Oh, but I'm exhausted now. Can I get Michael's key and collapse on his bed, and we can work on it in the morning?
Of course. Scudamore could stay here.
I'd better stay as well.
Just be careful, okay? Is it fixed?
I think so. It's a little hard to tell. They don't have electricity running through the walls like we do. Whatever battery powered it isn't here.
So what will you do?
Venture out and try to find one. Do you want to come with me or stay here?
I'm scared to go.
Stay here, then. But now that I think of it, let me unfasten something and bring it with me.
What is that?
It's the lens made of Substance Z. I suspect that our chronoscope was always looking toward it. If I take it with me, maybe my friends can see me as I move around the tower. It'll make me feel a little less alone.
Be careful, Michael.
I will, Camilla. I promise. It is fascinating watching you work on the chronoscope.
Is it?
Yes, it's rather like watching a screwdriver being used like a hammer.
You're just trying to get me riled up so I won't fix this thing.
Frankly, I don't care if you fix it or not. I might find it amusing to watch your fiancé fumble around in the tower, but it won't change anything.
Don't you want to go home?
No. I like it here. Besides, there's work to be done.
What work?
For the greater society.
Which is?
I find it amusing that the greater society lives here, but no one's aware of it. Look at it this way. Each of the cells in our body is so complex, it could be its own organism. But all the cells work together to serve a higher organism, the human being. Similarly, all human beings work together to serve a higher organism, which is the greater society, a being whose intelligence is as far above ours as our intelligence is above that of a single-celled organism.
I see. And let me guess. Certain human beings are meant to do different things. Women have different roles than men, for example.
Exactly. Just like liver cells have different roles than muscle cells.
And you, of course, must be one of the greater society's brain cells.
Well, yes, actually.
Now, Miss Benbridge, how do we fare?
I wound the new coil, but I can't get it to fit.
No, let me check. Ah, you need to thread the wire through here first. Then it will fit snugly.
You can tell that just by touch?
I designed this in my head. I know it by heart.
Let's take a brief pause for station identification, and we'll be back with more of our story.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and on the web at kfai.org, radio without boundaries.
Hey, buddy, did you know you're listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground on KFAI Fresh Air Radio? Well, you are.
Welcome back to Sound Effects. I'm Jerry Stearns, your host, and tonight we're listening to The Sting of the Dark Tower. It's from a group called Coiled Stories, from an original story by C.S. Lewis, in which Lewis and some of his colleagues at Cambridge are looking through a device called a chronoscope, and through an electrical accident, one of the colleagues is transferred to the other timeline they're viewing, and one of theirs is transferred here. Continue with The Sting of the Dark Tower.
Good morning, everyone.
Lewis, where on earth have you been? You said you'd be here an hour ago.
I was on my way, but then I had to borrow these. Do you have a table long enough to spread them out?
That one's empty. What are they, blueprints?
Yes, but not just any blueprints. Blueprints of the Dark Tower.
What?
When I first saw the tower, I knew it looked familiar. It's simply out of context. This morning it hit me. It's the Cambridge Library Tower.
You've lost your mind, Lewis.
What do you say, Scudamore?
That's it, all right. My chamber would be about there. But this information is useless to you.
This proves, does it not, that what we saw through the chronoscope is the future. The tower must have survived, even if everything around it did not.
As I explained earlier, it's neither past nor future. It's other time. Same people, language, and buildings can be in both. Although, obviously, they're not exactly the same. Even this building has some differences. It's missing the council room up there, and there's a dumbwaiter here for bringing up food, and connections to the tunnels down here.
Tunnels?
There are a few tunnels under the city of Cambridge, but they don't connect up to the library.
Well, in my time, they do.
So, is the chronoscope working?
Close. I just need that fuse.
I have it here. Just attach it between the power line and the coil. Do you know how to use a crimper?
You showed me earlier, remember?
Very good. Let's fire it up. Draw the curtains, will you, Lewis?
Of course.
It does look like the library tower.
Increase the frequency slowly. That'll move us closer. Closer, closer. A little more should take us through the wall. There.
This is not the same room.
It's the council room.
I can't quite make it out.
There's a group of about a dozen men with stingers. They're standing in a semicircle. There's a number of guards on the other side of the room. And in the middle, there's a...
Me. Apparently Lord Scudamore is on trial.
On trial by whom?
Council of Lords. Perhaps the Overlord will weigh in.
Which one is the Overlord?
Oh, we never see. We just hear his voice piped in. Oh, and look. Someone new is being dragged in.
That's me, isn't it?
Yes.
If we could only hear what they were saying.
The lens. Have you noticed that it vibrates?
What? Camilla, what are you doing?
It's the lens. Every time someone speaks, it vibrates. I think it picks up sound as well as light.
Camilla, touching the lens is how Scudamore had his accident. Get your hands out of there.
All right, but listen. If the lens is picking up sound, all we need to do is to amplify it to hear what's going on.
Yes, but the amplification device could take weeks to build.
Why would you build it? There are devices like that in half the houses in England. They're called phonographs. Just dismantle one and put the tuning arm so that the needle rests on the lens.
You can't just use a record player to listen to another time and place. Can you, Orpheus?
Let me feel the vibrations.
Give me your hand.
Careful.
There. Do you feel it?
You're correct, Miss Benbridge. If you mounted the tuning arm rigidly, a phonograph needle should be able to amplify the sound so we could hear it.
I believe you owe me an apology, Professor Lewis.
I apologize, Miss Benbridge. I'm not accustomed to the fair sex knowing about these things.
Women know more about vibration and machines than you can possibly imagine, Professor Lewis.
They do, if you say so.
Oh, come on, Juniper.
What?
I don't care how enlightened C.S. Lewis became, he would never write about that.
You know why you like C.S. Lewis so much, Eleanor? You and he are both humongous prudes.
I am not.
Yes, you are. You can't even say the word vibrator. Is that why you had to quit being a doctor? Prudishness?
That's not funny, Juniper.
What did they do? Ask you to deliver a baby? Or worse, have you examine a male patient? Oh, no, no, no. Wait, I have it. They wanted you to prescribe birth control to an unmarried woman.
I killed someone, okay?
You killed someone?
She was so cool, Juniper. She wasn't afraid of death at all. But she hadn't done the paperwork right, so when the procedure went badly, they had to keep her alive, even though there was nothing left of her. It wasn't what she wanted.
So you pulled the plug?
Yes. Of course, they track everything these days. It was easy to trace it to me. The hospital was willing to cover it up if I agreed to leave medicine. So I left.
Huh? So tell me, would C.S. Lewis have approved what you did with that woman?
Many devout Christians would say no, that life is a sacred gift no matter what. But I think he would have. I think, like me, he believed that we have a limited time on Earth for a reason, and God would not want us to suffer unnecessarily.
So can I go on now?
Yes. Go on.
They do. If you say so.
What's happening now?
Looks like they're reading the verdict. I can't imagine it's good.
All eyes are on the council. No one's paying any attention to me. If I could just create some kind of a diversion, I might be able to get Michael out of there.
I think you're expecting too much of the girl.
But there are torches on the back wall and curtains of the windows. It wouldn't be hard to start a fire and fill the room with smoke.
I'm afraid she looks far too terrified to do anything like that.
Orpheus said that current went through the lens and then through his body.
On me?
It's just a thumbscrew holding the wire to the lens.
Camilla, no! Lewis, pull her back from the machine!
No! Stay back! Stay...
Steady now, Camilla. I've got you.
Where am I?
Well, if you're who I think you are, that requires a bit of an explanation.
What is this place? Where am I?
You're in other time, my dear. First thing we should do is get you some fish and chips. They're delicious. You'll never want to go back.
Camilla! Wait! Slow down!
We don't have much time. We have to get to the bottom of the tower before they notice you're missing.
Did you set that fire?
Of course! Who else?
Tell me, are you my Camilla?
I think by now you'd realize that I'm no one's Camilla but my own.
Just hold on. Stop. Just 1 second. Stop. Look, I have something important to ask you.
Yes? What?
Mets or Yankees?
Mets, of course.
Camilla, what the hell are you thinking coming here? When you were in Cambridge, at least one of us was safe.
Come on, let's go. You can thank me later for saving your life.
So now you've got a chronoscope with a burnt-out electrical system again, huh?
No, no. I had Camilla put a fuse in this time. I'm just waiting for Lewis to return with a new fuse to replace it.
Clever.
The best news is that it looks like we may have a way to get you home. We seem to have a reproducible way of swapping minds between our time and yours.
I see. And when do you expect to have that working?
As soon as we have the fuse. Oh, there he is.
This is it, right?
Well done, Lewis. Now, use the wire cutters and cut out the old fuse.
Who, me?
There's no one else to do it, Clive.
Ah, yes, I see. Well, show me where to cut.
Here. And here. Now slide the wire into one of these and use this tool to crimp it.
Like this?
Yes. Same procedure here. Very good, Lewis. Who knew that a professor of literature could actually do something useful?
Yes, well, Orfeu.
What is it?
Scudamore and Camilla from other time. They're gone.
We can't leave the tower by the entrance, you know. It's heavily guarded.
We're not going to the entrance. We're going to the basement. It's connected to tunnels under Cambridge.
How do you know that?
The other version of you told me. Okay, slow down. I think we're near the bottom. There are two guards by that door. I bet that's it. I'll go and talk to them.
No! Look, hide behind these crates. I'll get rid of them. You two! All guards needed upstairs. The council room is on fire. Not a word from you. If the council dies in the blaze, I can assure you who will be blamed. Now get moving!
Beautiful, Michael. I didn't know you had it in you.
Neither did I. Come on!
That's terrible, Lewis.
Look, I never claimed to be good at carpentry.
Lord have mercy. Even with my eyesight, I can tell that's not straight.
I'll ask you not to take the Lord's name in vain.
Sorry, old boy. It's just that we've been at this for 2 hours. Scudamore could have put this together in 10 minutes.
Well, we don't have Scudamore. We don't have either version, in fact. We should be out there looking for him, not in here playing with tinker toys.
We spent all afternoon looking for them. The other time, Scudamore does not want to be found.
Yes, and it's pretty clear why not. Once his stinger has grown out, he plans to build his greater society here.
All the more reason to get the chronoscope working with sound. We need as much information as we can. Try it once more. Much better. Now, screw this in while I hold the phonograph arm steady. Well done. Let's try it. Is that Scudamore?
Yes.
Where is he?
Hard to tell, but I think he's outside.
Oh, thank God. He got out. And Camilla?
I don't see her.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not. I fear... No, wait. Here she comes.
Darling, I was so worried.
I can hear them.
It works. By God, it works.
It took me a while to find some fighters. Everyone's so suspicious.
But you convinced them?
Yes. They're gathering a group to go into the tunnel.
Who are these fighters, and what tunnel is she talking about?
I don't know, but I would hope that there are people fighting to bring down the tower's overlord. As for the tunnel, they must mean the ones under Cambridge.
We have to hurry. They're going in now. Here, put this on.
What is it?
It's a headband. A lot of the fighters wear them. It'll cover your stinger. If we leave now, we should be able to follow them back into the tower.
Let's go.
I don't understand. What's happening?
I believe that Camilla showed the fighters that they could invade the tower through the tunnel. Now she and Scudamore are following them back inside.
Why, for God's sakes?
They must believe that there's something there that can bring them back home.
Do you have a plan once we get inside?
The Overlord has a working crosshair. We just need to find out where he is.
Well, that's obvious, isn't it? It's got to be on the top floor.
What do you say that?
It's going to be over the Overlord.
Looks like the top.
It's just a plain door. Could that really be the Overlord's?
One way to find out. On three, I'll turn the knob and you kick in the door.
Got it.
One, two, three.
Come in, you two. What on earth took you so long?
Professor Lewis?
Professor Lewis with a gun pointed at us.
Just the fact that you recognize the object in my hand speaks volumes.
You're the Overlord, then?
Of course. Apparently, in your time, I'm merely a professor.
A really famous professor, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you wrote a very popular series of children's books.
I must be very proud. Come inside. Sit down. There's something you need to tell me.
What do you want to know?
How did you switch minds to come here from other time?
I have a feeling you won't be using that knowledge to send us home.
More likely you'll want to send more of your people over to create the greater society in our time.
Create the greater society? Listen, I have a much more sophisticated chronoscope than you have. I've observed your time in detail, and I've learned a great deal. How to make guns, for instance. One thing I can tell you with total certainty is that the greater society is alive and well in your time.
You're wrong. It's not like here at all.
Not yet. But consider this. The greater society works by assigning people roles so that each human can contribute to the higher organism. Here's a simple checklist to see if the greater society exists. Are men and women expected to have different roles in your time?
Yes, of course.
Check. How about people with light skin and people with dark skin? Different roles expected? Check. Families with lots of wealth and families with little wealth? Check. The greater society is controlling your lives whether you know it or not. But it all goes so much smoother if you consciously serve it.
Just how many guns do you have?
Enough to easily turn the tide on this war against the savages. The chemicals needed for gunpowder have been the trickiest part. We expect a shipment any day now. But let's get back to the question at hand. How did you switch your minds?
Let me ask you something, Overlord. Do you know about the bubonic plague?
What does that have to do with anything?
The disease was carried by fleas, which were riding on rats. Three species were involved. Extremely sophisticated behavior for a single-celled organism. Killed about half of Europe at the time.
What is she doing?
She's stood up and she's coming closer to the Overlord. I think she's trying to distract him to get the gun away from him.
Smallpox wiped out all of the great civilizations that were living in the Americas before the Europeans came. And the most dangerous animal in our time is what? The mosquito. Because it carries the disease malaria. Plague, smallpox, malaria. Organisms with no brains doing sophisticated things, bringing us high and mighty humans to our knees.
Is there a point to all of this?
The greater society exhibits sophisticated behavior and exerts tremendous power over humans. But does it think? You say you serve a higher intelligence. I say you're fooling yourself. What you serve is a disease.
I ought to shoot you where you stand.
Just try it.
Is she...
Yes, she's trying to get the gun.
Dear God!
It's okay, Orpheu. It discharged into the floor. She has the gun now.
Double chamber. Looks like there's one more shot in this thing. Stay right there, Overlord. Michael, shut down the stairwell and see if you can get them to come up.
Get who to come up?
So, the Overlord doesn't see everything after all. You're in for a surprise.
We have the Overlord. Top floor. Come quickly.
Lock the door.
We have to act fast. The fighters won't know we're on their side if they find us.
I'm turning it on. But this looks nothing like our chronoscope. There's no lens, only an array of mirrors.
We need to think of something fast.
I am thinking. Of course. I have the lens from the other chronoscope. I've been carrying it with me.
There's another chronoscope? Will the lens fit this one?
It doesn't have to. We just need the current running through it. Put one hand on that metal table to ground yourself, and hold my hand with the other. I'll touch the lens to the high-voltage wire.
But they're breaking in! What are you waiting for?
I have something to ask you.
What?
Camilla, will you marry me?
Didn't I ask you that already? Yes, of course. Now touch the goddamn lens to the goddamn wire and get us out of here.
All right. Hold tight. This is gonna hurt.
About your power.
they are. Get them.
Then we saw a huge spark, and then the door broke down. You two were lying on the floor.
The fighters picked up Scudamore and dragged him away. Then they picked up Camilla, and she rode out on their shoulders like a hero.
We couldn't tell if you had made it back or not.
So imagine our delight when we got a phone call from you inviting us to supper here.
From what I can tell, the other time Scudamore was going for world domination, but only got as far as renting a hotel room with Camilla.
Poor girl. Hopefully she'll be treated better now. Well, at least Michael and I got to make use of the hotel room.
Gentlemen and lady, I have a toast to make.
Let's hear it, Professor Lewis.
To modern women.
To modern women.
What would we do without them?
The end.
Juniper, that's extraordinary.
Thanks.
No, I mean it. You came up with that whole thing on the spot and in less than 24 hours after hearing the first part. You have a gift.
I suppose I do.
Does anybody know about what you can do?
When I was little, I would try to tell people stories, but no one really listened. So I stopped.
We need to talk about this drug.
Do we have to talk about it now?
Yes, we do.
I don't see what there is to talk about. When the time comes, give me the shot.
The time was over an hour ago. You've been doing very creative procrastination.
It's not... Look, there's nothing to say about it. I just want to have a chance at being normal.
And what does normal mean?
You know, normal. Friends. People who like you.
I like you.
I'm not talking about you.
So who are you talking about?
You don't get it, do you? I want to be the kind of girl who fits in, who might even have a boyfriend. Do you think a boy has even talked to me in the last 5 years?
That's not a good reason to take a drug. I didn't have a boyfriend until I was in my 20s.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay. Fine. Let me get the syringe set up. God only knows what this will do to your storytelling abilities.
Wait, what?
This is a brand new drug, Juniper. You think they've done control studies on how well people come up with stories?
But any side effects will be temporary, right? I can always stop.
Let me explain something to you. Doctors understand only a tiny fraction of how the brain works. Nobody truly knows what these drugs do.
Maybe we should wait.
No, no. You want to be normal. You want to fit into society.
Wait, Eleanor. No. No, ow!
There. Now, how do you feel?
I feel like someone put a needle into my arm and then pulled it out without depressing the syringe.
Oh, did I forget to depress the syringe? Let me do that now.
Now we have to clean that off the floor.
You're right. Well, next time, I'll do it over the bathroom sink.
You're not ever going to give me the drug, are you?
You have a gift, Juniper. I can't let you risk losing it.
Is this what you think C.S. Lewis would do?
Oh, screw C.S. Lewis.
Eleanor!
I mean, who cares what he would do? You know, if you want to read some old science fiction, you could do way better than him. John Wyndham wrote some great stuff in the 50s, and James Tiptree was actually a woman writing under a male name in the 1970s. Oh, wait. Her stuff is pretty inappropriate for a 15-year-old.
Inappropriate how?
Never mind. Forget I mentioned it.
Tiptree, you say?
Seriously, Juniper, she's pretty disturbed.
Let me look her up and see what she's done.
Forget Tiptree. There's Ursula Le Guin, there's Margaret Atwood. Stay away from books like Oryx and Crake.
Sure, how do you spell that?
I'll come up with a list for you.
The Sting of the Dark Tower was written, directed, and produced by Peter Gruenbaum. It featured Walker Kaplan as Juniper, Carol Sage Silverstein as Eleanor, John Ruoff as Professor Orifew, Will Rose as C.S. Lewis, Bill Johns as Michael Scudamore, and Alice Bridgeforth as Camilla Benbridge. The Sting of the Dark Tower was recorded at the Jack Straw Cultural Center in Seattle. Steve Dottore and Doug Hare were the recording engineers. All music was written by Leon Gruenbaum and performed by the Firebird Saxophone Ensemble and Jeans and Machines. To hear more music by Jeans and Machines, go to their website at jeansandmachines.com.
This is Roger Gregg of Crazy Dog Audio Theater in Dublin, Ireland. If you just missed this sound effects radio theater program, as I often do, because it's on in the middle of the night over here, you can always find it online in the program archives at www.kfai.org. Otherwise, Sound Effects is on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Yes, thank you, Roger. As he said, this is Sound Effects, a radio playground, and we just heard Sting of the Dark Tower. It's a story originally written and posthumously published by C.S. Lewis. The radio adaptation was by Peter Grunbaum, and the wonderful music there was done by Leon Grunbaum and played by the Firebird Saxophone Ensemble. As a side note, I see that the logo was created by Ben Grunbaum. And all of that was presented at coiledstories.com. So you can go there to find out more about it and listen to it again if you don't want to listen to it here on Sound Effects, because as Roger said, it is in the archives here at KFAI.org for 2 weeks after this broadcast. Now, we began that story last week because it is slightly more than an hour long, and we only have slightly less than an hour for this program. If you wanted to see more about what we're doing on the show, you can always go to greatnorthernaudio.com. On the left, there's a link to Sound Effects on KFAI, and you can find our schedule there of what we hope is coming up in the future. In the meantime, I'm Jerry Stearns, and you've been listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground. I hope you'll join us next week, and I hope you'll stay tuned and join Abby on Abby's Room for One, which is next. Sound Effects, a radio playground. The best in audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. A medium where almost everything is left to your imagination.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Culture Center, presenting The Wild Woods, Thursday, October 23rd. The Wild Woods, hailing from Lincoln, Nebraska, are touring with their latest release, Dear Minnewook. From their close harmony vocals to their traditional Americana instrumentals, the Wild Woods dance on the line between genuine folk and indie pop. Opening the show is St. Paul's own Emmy Woods. More information about the Wild Woods is available at thecedar.org.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting GBH at the Fine Line, Tuesday, October 28th. GBH were early pioneers of British street punk. 45 years later, they're still pumping it out. Bands such as Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, Queens of the Stone Age, Green Day, and Nirvana have all cited GBH as an influence. Opening the show are Slaughterhouse and the Mainliners. More information about GBH at the Fine Line is available at first-avenue.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge, presenting a double album release party from Kent Burnside and Mark Cameron, Friday, October 24th. First up is Kent Burnside, grandson of blues legend R.L. Burnside. Kent is continuing his grandpa's tradition with his first commercial album release, Hill Country Blood. Then, Mark Cameron takes the stage with his latest album, Blues Factory. More information about Kent Burnside and Mark Cameron's double album release party is available at thehookmpls.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFA